WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this day after signing day, what a wild day that was. I tell you, that is always just an insane time. Work. I mean, I didn't finish work probably until about 11:30 at night. That's how crazy it was. From like 8 a.m. to 11:30. Oh, boy. Gotta love it, though. As various recruits from across this great nation made their college choices. Congratulations to all of those young pups who made those dreams come true. We'll have a full recap of signing day on today's Current Sports. We will also dive into Michigan State's recruiting class, of course. We will chat with Isaiah Hole. He is a sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. Isaiah was in the house at the signing of the Stars event out in Ann Arbor at the Chrysler Center as Jim Harbaugh and company put on a show to introduce their new recruiting class. We will also expand upon our conversation yesterday concerning the Detroit Red Wings, which are now losers of five straight games, not looking great for a postseason appearance for the Winged Wheel this year. And at the end of the show, we'll have a Michigan State men's basketball preview as the men hit the road to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. The Cornhuskers, pretty big win over a solid Purdue team, a Purdue team that had a really nice win over the Northwestern Wildcats last night. So we'll preview Michigan State and Nebraska later on in the show. We'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State women's basketball game as the women will welcome Indiana to the Breslin Center. So stay tuned if you want to find out how you can win those tickets. And, of course, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. So, as you see, a jam-packed show. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. The Michigan State men's basketball team looks to build on their victory against rival Michigan. That's right, tonight in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they will take on the 10-11 Cornhuskers. Nebraska has won the last three games between these two teams, including a one-point victory last year in EL. Now, Nebraska is also coming off a big win against Purdue this past weekend. The win snapped a five-game losing streak and put them at 4-5 in conference play. One of Michigan State's key contributors, Nick Ward, as we reported, he came down with the flu this week, but he is expected to play tonight against the Cornhuskers. We'll have more on that game later on this hour. The Michigan State women's basketball team will play host to the Indiana Hoosiers tonight at the Breslin Center. The Spartans are on a two-game win streak after a victory against Minnesota on Monday. Stark senior guard Tori Jankowska finished the game with 20 points to lead her team to a dub. Meanwhile, the Hoosiers come into this game riding a three-game win streak of their own. That's right. The win streak includes wins against Purdue, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Tip time tonight starts at 6 p.m., and heck, why not? Caller number one will win those tickets right now. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Call now if you want to check out the Michigan State women's basketball team ball out tonight again against Indiana, 6 p.m. former Michigan State running back, Le'Veon Bell, had some friendly advice for the newest batch of Spartan recruits that signed yesterday. Bell said, quote, Coach D is going to take good care of you, turn you from a boy into a man. And he also told the recruits to enjoy the cold weather. I like that. Good advice, Bell. You got to definitely button up if you want to live here in Michigan. I tell you that. All right, the Detroit Pistons topped the New Orleans Pelicans. That's right, the favorite squads of both myself and Isaac Constance. Isaac Constance getting the short end of this stick. 118-98, the final last night at the Palace of Auburn Hills. KCP was great last night. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope scored a career-high 38 points to help the team to a dub as they outscored the Pels 52-24 in the last 17 minutes of the game.
Just under 4 to play in the third. Kentavious with a steal. Lays it up, lays it in. Six straight for the Pistons out of the timeout.
Oh, boy, was he good or what last night. After the game, Aaron Bain settled the rumor that he is opting out of his contract at the end of this year, at least for now. Baines has a $6.5 million player option next season. Now, with NBA salaries rising next year, well, I should say year by year, it could make sense for him to leave and test the market. We'll see. It also explains why his expiring contract may be on the trade block. Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Pistons, defended his players yesterday against criticism of his team from NBA analyst Charles Barkley. Barkley said the Pistons have a bunch of players who, quote, think they're better than they are, end quote. Van Gundy said that Barkley's analysis would apply to most teams in the NBA. He also noted that he would prefer that his players have ego and that it is important in this league to believe in yourself. Reach for the stars is basically what SVG had to say. All right, Golden Tate, of course, baller for the Detroit Lions, is in Texas for the Super Bowl on Radio Row. And he isn't feeling too well. No, it isn't from having too much barbecue. I like the way that article put that, right? Tate isn't feeling well because the Detroit Lions lost four straight games to end the year. Tate expressed satisfaction with his individual performance this past season, but wishes the team could have done better to end the year. Tate finished the season with 91 receptions for a little over 1,000 yards and four touchdowns. He told the Detroit Free Press, quote, if you look at the stats, yeah, I had a decent season, but if you look at team-wise, you're sitting in the driver's seat, two games up in your division, and you find a way to blow that? That kind of makes my stomach hurt. Yeah, that will give anybody a tummy ache, right, Tate? Well, we'll see what the Lions do next year. Tiger Eldrick Woods. Yeah, Tiger Woods still hasn't found his old form after starting the first round of the Dubai Desert Classic with a 5 over 77. On the first hole, his tee shot went left, ended up on a different hole. Woods is currently 12 shots behind Sergio Garcia. According to ESPN, Woods said after the round that he was fighting to get under par, but it never materialized. Woods will tee off Friday morning at 3:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Woods is paired with defending Masters champ Danny Willett and Matthew Fitzpatrick. California offensive lineman commit Putasi fulfilled a dream by signing to play college football. He signed Wednesday morning, but shortly after, get this crazy story, his mother sadly passed away. Viola Putasi passed away Wednesday afternoon after a fight with diabetes. Her son signed his national letter of intent in the morning and immediately rushed to the hospital to be with his mother in her final moments. Putasi took to Twitter to express his feelings toward his mother, saying, quote, this is supposed to be the best day of my life, but it turned out to be the saddest. No matter the outcome, you'll always be my rock, Ivy, end quote. That's what Putasi had to say via Twitter. Wow. You go to signing a national letter of intent to take your talents to your dream college, right? And on the same day, your mother passes away. Prayers out to Putasi. That is a crazy story. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. We'll have more on Michigan State and Michigan Signing Day in the blink of an eye. If you want to be a part of our show today, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show. Today is the day that high school athletes from across this great nation made their college choices known to the world. In Michigan State's case, they welcome a class that includes 20-plus members and one that ranks 30th nationally. Quite the contrary to that of Michigan's, which welcomed a top-5 recruiting class. Now, head coach Mark D'Antonio held a press conference this afternoon at Spartan Stadium to welcome and introduce those new names to us media members. And he did that in a pretty unique way.
I asked them to send me a hat. I'll stick a hat on and talk about each individual guy a little bit as we go through this. Give their school a little bit of recognition as we go through it, make it a little bit unique. So I got my props up here a little bit.
I knew what the situation was. We had a bunch of young guys playing, just injuries. I feel like that's not going to stop us next season. Just come in hungrier and come play stronger, faster, and get bigger.
They're just starting to scratch the surface, as we've been reminded so many times here at Michigan State. When we look at a young man, you can't evaluate them even as a freshman as they come in. That evaluation should take place probably when they're into their second year. Some guys will play as true freshmen. I think that's the nature of it.
You come in, work hard, and do what you're supposed to do. You know, you can easily play as a freshman. So I took that to heart, and that's what I'm doing. So we'll see. Spring ball comes up. I got to show what I can do.
And this year is quite the dip. If you remember, the 2016 football recruiting class is actually Mark D'Antonio's highest rated ever. The big word when it comes to this class is loyalty. Even after a 3-9 season, these were individuals that decided to stick with the program.
But the guys who've taken their time and that have planned out where they want to go to college, that have looked in depth at our program and made a decision to come here, have stuck with their decisions throughout the process.
We'll see if those decisions will pay dividends in the near future. Is how we start this Thursday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. On the day after signing day, I know many of you college football fans were glued to your smartphones, to your newspaper, to your laptop, just looking at updates throughout the day on what occurred when it comes to your favorite recruiting classes, right? Michigan State, you just heard my report that I filed late last night, centered on Michigan State signing day. And this is a recruiting class that ranks in the 30s. If you want to see the visual of that report, just simply go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. A recruiting class that nationally ranks in the 30s, as I mentioned. Michigan in the top 5, Jim Harbaugh and company. what an event for a second straight year when it comes to signing of the stars, right? Crazy visuals from that event yesterday. Got a chance to briefly chat with the recruits of Josiah Scott, whose voice you just heard in that report. Josiah Scott is a cornerback, 5'10", 175, from Hamilton, Ohio. Went to Fairfield High School. Really bright young man. Had a great time chatting with him. And also, the son of former Michigan State football great Bad Moon. That's right, Andre Rison's son, Hunter Rison. Wide receiver, 6 feet, 195, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Of course, Hunter went to Ann Arbor Skyline. Also, another bright young man. I mean, you know, I'm always curious. When I interview high school athletes, you know, one of two things can happen. Either they're so nervous, they've never really been on television or done an interview, and they kind of stumble over their words, and you can see the nerves written on their face. Or you can get one that just embraces the whole thing and just loves the camera or just loves the interview. And both Josiah and Hunter were the later. They were fantastic. I mean, it was like they've been doing interviews their whole life. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. They're pretty big recruits, so I guess they have, right? Especially when it comes to Hunter. By that time, when signing day comes, they've done so many interviews, they're pretty well prepped, right? But it was a joy talking to those two. And Coach Mark D'Antonio, during his signing day press conference, he decided to jazz it up a bit, and he asked all 20-plus recruits to send him a hat of their high school. And during the press conference, as Mark D'Antonio proceeded to go through his entire recruiting class and talk about each individual, he would change the hat to the hat of that recruit's high school. So I thought that was pretty cool and different, something that Mark D'Antonio has never done. Just wanted to spice it up a little bit. Mark D'Antonio is not going to hold a whole signing of the stars event like Jim Harbaugh, but, you know, he wanted to have some fun with it, so I thought that was a pretty cool way for him to do that. Just to provide a quick wrap-up of signing day, you know, I want to bring up a few points here. Just want to get something off my chest because, you know, before fake news on social media became a huge deal and a huge talking point, I want to rewind the clock not too long ago when fake recruiting occurred on National Signing Day, right? Do you guys remember this story? This took place back in 2008 when an individual by the name of Kevin Hart, I kid you not, Kevin Hart is his name, not the comedian, Kevin Hart, really a no-name offensive lineman from Nevada, Hart held a news conference to announce that he would play football at California. It was big news. You know, we're talking about hundreds of people coming out, including Hart's parents, high school coach, teachers, friends. They all packed a high school gym and really bought in to what was taking place. Hart holding a press conference to let the world know that he would be taking his football talents to California. Yeah. He even told his high school newspaper that Nevada, Boise State, Washington, Oregon State, and Cal, that they were all recruiting him, that they were all in the running for his talents. And eventually it came out that, get this, none of it was true. It was all fabricated. I believe, Isaac, we have a snippet from, is this from the press conference?
It is, yeah, the Associated Press report covering the press conference.
Let's take a listen. Let's take a listen.
And I decided that I'm going to be playing football at the University of California.
For a high school football player, being recruited to a Pac-10 school, well, that's a dream come true. But in this case, it's anything but, because this offensive lineman made the whole thing up.
I just want to say thank you to my family over there. I mean, everyone at this school has been so supportive of what I've been doing.
This is Nevada resident Kevin Hart, Friday, accepting congratulations at a school ceremony. Here, Hart announced that he had been recruited by both the University of Oregon and the University of California, Berkeley. After publicly choosing to play for the Golden Bears football program, it turns out Hart had some explaining to do, as the announcement was questioned immediately. Hart quickly changed his story, saying he had been duped by a man he had paid to help promote him to college football programs. Detectives continued to poke around, and after that alleged promoter couldn't be found, Kevin Hart admitted Wednesday he was just pretending to live the dream. The high school student has apologized, and now the district attorney's office in Reno is deciding whether prosecution is warranted. Local school officials call the entire incident a shame. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
Thank you, Sandy. Yeah, that was a pretty insane story. Kevin Hart holding a fake press conference in front of everybody, his loved ones, parents, teachers, everybody, announcing that he would go to Cal. He got caught in his lies, became publicly humiliated He spent 4 years at Feather River College before signing with Division II Missouri Western State. And a 2013 story from the St. Joseph News Press reported that Hart actually left school after his redshirt season to be closer with his family. And you know, I look at the story in two lights. Is it comical? For sure. That story is absolutely hilarious, and it's always brought up around this time of the year during signing day. And there's another lens I look at this story with over the years now, because it is a catch-22. The story of Hart is really a small peek into the window, an outlier into the crazy world of college football recruiting. You know, every year I feel like when signing day approaches, I'm looking for that story where, you know, there's parents, you know, fabricating their son's signature to go to a certain school. You know, something just wild. You know, a media member putting together a plan for a recruit to double cross his commitment to a school. These are all real stories that have happened in the past, right? I'm always looking at some crazy story. I remember here locally with Malik McDowell. You remember that situation with Malik where his mom didn't want him to come here, but his pops did, and she wouldn't sign the paperwork, and there was this standoff. And, you know, his mom, it was being reported that she wasn't feeling the coaching staff. There's always some crazy recruiting story. And when you look at the big picture here, folks, there will be a vote that will take place in April, whether to add an early signing period in December to dampen some of the frenzy and really encourage early commitments, I should say, by players and coaches, right? To actually commit. So that vote will take place by the NCAA's Division I Council in April to determine whether or not they should open up an early signing period to take place in December instead of waiting for the first Wednesday in February. And I do believe that this is likely going to take place. You know, allowing players to end this insane in the membrane 6 weeks, you know, this insane in the membrane thing we go through every signing day, to end it 6 weeks earlier. And, you know, it possibly could be the last time that we see, you know, this situation where you know, these kids are holding press conferences and big announcements and making these elaborate videos in February to announce where they're going because they've already committed in December. And there's a few areas here, because when you look at the way recruiting is today, there's so much pressure on a lot of these young kids to live up to certain unrealistic expectations. I want to read a quote from Washington linebacker Keyshawn Barrera, who said this, quote, "I already think this recruiting process is too hype for guys to where they come to college and forget how to work. I'm the number one guy in the country. I'm good." No, you're not good. Now you've got to build from the bottom. Nothing is going to be given to you. I feel like the media should take a step back from the recruiting process, because that pushes a lot of guys out there who deserve it, and it hypes up a lot of guys who don't deserve it. Stop calling guys every day. You just got this offer, this offer, this offer. You're amazing. Nah, man. That's high school. That's totally different when you get to college, and that really destroys some guys' mindsets. They feel like they are in high school, and they deserve it all. And they've already won a national championship. This is a small peek. Again, that quote comes via CBS from Washington linebacker Keyshawn Barrera, who I absolutely thought nailed it when talking about the world of recruiting and how some of these recruits, especially those who are 4- and 5-star, are so hyped that they feel a pressure when they get to college to go out there and to live up to certain expectations and They've been hyped so much. It's sort of like watching Jesus Shuttlesworth and He Got Game with Denzel and Ray Allen. That they have this entitlement that they already are big man on campus. So why do they got to work hard when they get to that respective college? It's crazy. It really is. And let's be real here. Entitlement is nothing new. It's nothing new. I mean, heck, let's rewind the clock back to 2006, shall we? How about quarterback Jimmy Clausen? Do you remember what Jimmy Clausen did on his signing day, Isaac? Do you remember that story?
Not exactly, no.
Jimmy Clausen stepped out of a stretch Hummer limousine in 2006 to commit to Notre Dame at the College Football Hall of Fame. I kid you not. Like, Jimmy had arrived. Like, he just came up looking super fly at the College Football Hall of Fame. Like, this is my time to shine. And I get it. I want to put this out there. I get it because, hey, these high school recruits, many of them have worked very hard all their life for that scholarship. This is a moment that should be celebrated, right? Especially because when you look at college athletes, you don't get paid, you know, and you got these recruiting services now who are, it's amazing to me how this has grown over time. You got all these various recruiting services where you have writers who are making a living off of reporting on recruiting, making a living off of where these young men are going to make their respective college choices and go and take their talents. They're getting paid off of this. You know, while these college athletes, I mean, they don't get a dime. So, yeah, celebrate it. Celebrate it. But there is a line, you know, pulling up to the College Football Hall of Fame in a stretch Hummer. No. Come on. There's a fine line. Celebrate it, but there is a limit here. But there's so much pressure. I want to go back to the pressure here just for a moment because there is so much pressure. And this brings me back to heart because this is a made-up recruit who decided to fabricate a story in front of everybody and commit to a university that didn't even recruit him. And, you know, heck, actually Hart, even back in 2009, he told ESPN that he didn't even take the SATs while in high school because he knew his grades weren't even good enough. Hart said in 2009 this, quote, "I kept it to myself. I was embarrassed because, like, I wanted to live up to everyone's expectations and couldn't deal with people at the time knowing that I failed. I just wanted to be someone. And when I couldn't be that person, it was tough. And I didn't know how to really explain that to people or tell people that." So I look at it with two lenses here, folks. Kevin Hart, what he did was totally wrong, without a doubt. You don't fabricate a story like that. You don't cause a ruckus like that. But it's a small peek into the window of what the minds of many top recruits or recruits in general go through. They feel pressure from family, from friends, from coaches. They feel pressure to live up to ideally an unrealistic expectation. So I try not to laugh, even though the story is hilarious on many levels. But I wonder what this story says about the bigger picture of college football recruiting. Given that Hart, you know, put in so much time and so much effort into a lie that was ideally unobtainable at the end of the day. As to what Hart is doing now, I saw a recent article in which they tried to reach out to Hart and find out how he's doing. His Twitter account is protected. And he says that no longer does he do interviews, and he wants to keep his life private right now. So the big question that I'm going to be throwing to our guest for today's Current Sports, Isaiah Hull, who is a sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com, is whether or not pushing up signing day to December, and, you know, just throwing out an earlier date, whether or not this will dampen some of the frenzy and some of the hoopla that we see early in February.
and what benefits and what downsides could we possibly see if this is voted on and approved by the NCAA's Division I Council. Isaac, before we hit our first break and bring on Isaiah to the show, what are your thoughts on signing day and just thoughts on the questions that I pose when talking about an earlier date for recruits?
That was sobering, I've got to say, because Kevin Hart, I like the comedian, but I like this Kevin Hart much better, actually. I think he's a personal hero of mine. I've always wanted to fake something. I always tell people, hey, I'm on the basketball team. And of course, I was in high school, but not at MSU, obviously. But so anyway, that was dampening a little bit to me just because, I don't know.
Yeah, I got real with you at the end
there,
didn't I? Yeah,
it was. That was authentic. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, no, you're absolutely right on all of your points. There is so much pressure that's thrust onto each one of these kids that they couldn't expect going forward. They couldn't expect going to college because the thing is, no matter what college you go to, some are going to place you in a prime position if you're a five-star recruit to attend a D1 college, get drafted first overall, make $60 million in your first 5 years alone, etc. Some, they're not. But the thing is, when you enter as a freshman, you know what's paid for? Whether you go to Delaware or whether you go to Michigan, your room and board, your classes, tuition. In return, you have to practice every day. You've got to lift weights, etc. All of that stuff. The thing is, you're at that same level. You're at that same plateau. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, stepping out of a limo when you commit to Notre Dame like Jimmy Clausen did or something like that, or John Elway when he pitted coaches against each other trying to vie for his signature, that's all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, that's not a guarantee that these kids will get any further. I look at the story. Actually, you know, I'll keep it real as well. Joe McKnight, may he rest in peace. This was the number one recruit in the country, coming out of John Curtis in Metairie, Louisiana, right in a suburb of New Orleans. 10 years later, he dies. He's shot driving through traffic. He made the NFL. He played a few years, mainly special teams, kick returns, all of that good stuff. But the thing is, he was the number one recruit. He was supposed to be Reggie Bush, but bigger. And that's what all of that amounted to. Being a number one recruit, being a number two recruit, being a number 300 recruit, it doesn't mean anything yet. And this has totally been blown out of proportion. It can kill work ethic, for one. But just as importantly, it can degrade family relationships before they start. It can bend people in all sorts of contortions that pit them against each other. And, yeah, this has gotten out of hand. I don't think moving it up to December is the answer. I'm not sure if there is one besides self-imposed limits by coaching staffs and the NCAA. I think there have to be regulations. But the thing is, no, something does have to change. And you're right, even for the sake of Kevin Hart, I mean, there's a serious side to that too.
There is. There's a serious side to everything, right? Let's hit our first break. We come back, we will talk about the possibility of an earlier signing day. And again, the pros and cons of that. We'll invite to the show for the first time Isaiah Hole, who is a sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. He was in his house for signing of the stars yesterday in Ann Arbor. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Later on this hour, we will introduce to you two more of our Current Sports PAs that will be helping us out throughout this semester. And get this, they're going to give us their predictions on the Super Bowl. And I want to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl because we're, what, 3 days away now? I can't believe we're only 3 days away from the Super Bowl. Gosh, I am going to miss the NFL when it's gone. But, of course, the New England Patriots will be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Tom Brady versus Matt Ryan. It should be a fun game. I'm just hoping. This is what I hope for every single year. When you talk about a game of this magnitude on a national stage, one of the biggest events in America, And I, you know, I've been vying for this for a long time. You know, I've been a major component in saying that, you know what, they really need to make the Super Bowl a national holiday because, heck, the entire nation treats it as that, right? You know, give us Monday off of work, right? I mean, it's so big. You know, the Super Bowl parties, and it's just a huge event. I believe, what is it, Lady Gaga, right? She's performing at halftime. I'm not a big Gaga fan, but there are many folks that go goo-goo for Gaga. So I think that was a big get for them in this year's Super Bowl. I mean, we've seen some of the greatest artists of all time perform at Super Bowl halftime show, right? And, you know, like Michael Jackson, Beyonce, who, by the way, is having twins. Congratulations to Queen Bee. I think that's big. But Lady Gaga performing at halftime. The commercials are always big. I mean, you know, when you evaluate the amount of moolah that some of these companies pay just to have like a 30-second spot during the Super Bowl broadcast, it is amazing. But when it comes to the X's and O's, getting back to the X's and O's here, you talk about two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. You got Tom Brady, who's a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame, without a doubt, and Matt Ryan, who I think Matt Ryan will also be a Hall of Famer when his career is said and done as well. Great matchup. I'm just hoping, and I hope for this every single year, I'm just hoping it's a fun game. It's a close game, that it's a battle. I do not want to see a blowout during the Super Bowl. So I want to know what your thoughts and predictions are. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, the Atlanta Falcons taking on the New England Patriots down in Houston. In the meantime, again, I opened up the show by chatting about, you know, what an early, or I should say an earlier signing day, what that would do to the landscape of recruiting. You know, what are the pros and cons? And I do believe we're still working on trying to get Isaiah Hole on the show, sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. But for me, I look at it like this. I do think that it's going to happen. I do think that the NCAA Division I Council will make this happen. Obvious benefits here. You know, any chance to stop the crazy 24/7 recruiting cycle, any chance to stop that, it is a good thing in my eyes. You know, it's already become just way too big, way too hyped, and it would also diminish the chances of a coach pulling the offer late in the process or of a recruit flipping to another school. When you push up this date, it would cause these commits to actually commit. Because when you sign on that dotted line, I mean, the chances of you flaking out tremendously reduce. Now, again, there's pros and cons to everything. The downside to this, you know, official recruiting visits would have to move up. So you talk about playing with the calendar here. Those visits would have to move up in the process, and it would accelerate the process, possibly before players and programs have fully evaluated each other. So it will put more pressure on coaching staffs everywhere to make sure that this is the young man they want for their program. And again, it will push up that program. It will speed up the process a bit more, which I'm not opposed to at all. And again, another downside to this when it comes to accelerating the process, what happens? This is the question that you constantly get when having this conversation. What happens to the recruit or the player who signs in that 72-hour window, right? That December 15th to 17th window. Those are the dates we're talking about when pushing this thing up. What happens to the player that signs during that time span and then the coach get fired, you know, 2 weeks later? Because that happens. That happens. In December, when those bowl games are taking place, how many times? I mean, that's ideally the time period where we see a lot of head coaches in college football get released and let go. So that head coach who spent all this time recruiting this young man is then fired and the recruit is stuck because he signed on the dotted line. There has to be a clause in there that says if that happens, that young man can open back up his recruitment and go to whatever school he wants to. So there's pros and cons to it, but I'm all for ending this thing early because it truly has gotten out of hand. And doing this would alleviate just some of the spectacle and doesn't make it so hectic at the end of the day. Do I believe you'll still have the ESPN broadcast where you have a kid sitting there on TV with hats lined up? You'll still have that for sure. But it won't be as many. It won't be as crazy, if you will. So what are your thoughts? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to weigh in on the Super Bowl down in Houston this Sunday. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. L. Martin? Thanks for taking my call. And it's happy for those who are celebrating Black History Month.
Yes, it is February, my friend. I've seen a lot of tributes already, and it's only the second day of the month. So, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about the Super Bowl in Houston. Why don't Beyonce sing in the Super Bowl? Because that's her hometown.
Well, she just did it. I believe, and she's now pregnant. So, yeah, I don't think having a pregnant Beyonce, pregnant with twins, by the way, I don't think having her up on stage would be ideal. And she just performed last year, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I just thought about that in Houston, H-Town, they call it.
And yeah, H-Town.
Think about any other musicians come out of H-Town lately.
Oh, man, I couldn't tell you. Isaac, you know any? I don't know any other than Beyonce. Off rip, I couldn't name you.
You've got Paul Wall, but he's not really Super Bowl material. I think we can agree on that. And then, shoot, there's another. There are a few prominent hip-hop groups from there.
But, I never thought Paul Wall would be mentioned on Current Sports. Yeah,
put it this way. Paul Wall comes to the top of the mind. Houston right now doesn't have the most options for Super Bowl performers.
You know what really gets me? I just finished watching, Mike. I don't know if you saw this on BET the other day, but they premiered the New Edition story. I'm a big fan of New Edition. That's real R&B in my eyes, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea those brothers were from Boston. Had no idea. So random to me when I was watching it. And also, heck, when Prince, the great Prince, passed away, I had no idea that Prince was from Minnesota. So you see all these great artists that come from, you know, these highly publicized cities sometimes. And, you know, that really blows my mind. Heck, Michael Jackson from Indiana. You know, it's just so random sometimes.
Since Houston is, I'm going to talk about the game after I get done. Houston's such a blues-centric, blues and country music type area. You think they will find some artists that will reflect Houston? Because you know, you listen on public radio, they have all these guys, these blues guys from that area, that Texas and Louisiana border area.
Right.
And I just thought about it. You know, that could reflect the city of Houston. Here's what I want to talk to you about. What they going to do with the Astrodome?
I have no idea, Mike.
Did you know that was one of the first dome stadiums in the United States?
Right.
One of the original first dome stadiums. And I was thinking that you know, you built that stadium. Those stadiums, they usually built for two decades, three decades of down the line, but they tearing them down and everything. Look what they doing to the Palace. They talking about they might take that out after 29, 30 years, so... What can I say? Here's what I like to tell you the score of the game. I like to pick New England 31-24 over Atlanta.
You're going with the New England Patriots. That's a safe bet. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Hard to go against Belichick, right?
I'm going with Tom Brady is because he's been there before. Also, it's just like Belichick is always coaching. He can coach him up and scheme him up so well. You know, all the other coaches seem like they're intimidated by him.
Right.
Now, if you look at some of the New England people, you think they would be on other teams? Would they be starting on other teams? Would they come off? Would they be the third receiver? I'm looking at their receiving core. I'm looking at their running backs. We always talk about the Detroit Lions don't have receivers and running backs and everything, but New England does fine with the receivers they got, and they're not all pro receivers. They're not on the way to Canton or anything. You know, I always thought professional sports always come down to talent, but in the instances, if you got a perfect game plan and you can scheme them up and just know, you know, because their team never make any mistakes.
Well,
you know?
I tell you what, Mike, this is called the Tom Brady effect. When you have a man who puts you constantly down after down after down in the right position to catch the football, where you don't have to stretch out, where it's always right there. I mean, when you got Tom Brady as your quarterback, I mean, he makes average receivers look like Jerry Rice. That's just what Tom Brady does. And also, yeah, and that's the thing. I've constantly said this about Tom Brady. It's a testament to why, when it's all said and done, he will go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And you could probably make an argument when looking at his career numbers, especially if he wins the Super Bowl this Sunday, that he is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay.
When you push that conversation forward, Mike, he's been able to do this with pretty much no names on offense for the most part, right? It's unbelievable. So,
yes,
Mike,
it does. Let me ask you one more question before I let you move on to other callers. I know Michigan State is playing Nebraska tonight.
Right.
Tell me one player you impressed with Nebraska. I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate that. And yeah, when you look at this matchup tonight, again, which we'll dive more into, Nebraska, first off, they just beat Purdue. Big win. That's a sexy win in the Big Ten, right? And Purdue, I don't know if you guys saw last night what Purdue did to Northwestern, but it was pretty embarrassing. I really thought Northwestern was going to make that thing competitive. Here's the thing. Ed Morrow, I was really going to hone in on him today, but then I saw that, Coach Miles told the Lincoln Journal Star that Ed Morrow, who has missed 5 straight games with a stress reaction in his right foot, he will be a game-time decision on Thursday. He's the guy that, if he does play, I think he could cause a lot of problems. And, again, that all depends on his health, how healthy he is if he does decide to play tonight. And also, you know, Nebraska's dealing with a lot of injuries here. You know, so Ed Morrow, he's a question mark. Guard Ty Webster, he rolled an ankle in that upset against Purdue. So we don't know how healthy he's going to be tonight. And also center, and I'm probably going to mess up this last name, Jordy Chishmenga. I think I got that right. I think. He's improving, but he's battling the same illness that Nick Ward is going through right now in the flu. So those are 3 names to watch when it does come to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. So we'll see. In Michigan State, they've lost 3 straight on the road. They just don't bring the same energy and focus that they do when they're in the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. Who knows how healthy Nick Ward is? Well, we'll see. We'll preview that game in just a moment. I want to hit our second break here, and I want to invite our 2 current sports PAs, Austin Short and Zach Manning, to Studio S. We'll further dive into this Michigan State and Nebraska preview tonight, as well as talk Super Bowl and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our show. We have about 9 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun. Well, right now, as we've been doing throughout this entire week, we've been introducing you all to a few of our current sports production assistants that will be a part of the show producing content for us throughout this semester up until about April, late April, beginning of May. And I want to introduce 2 names now who have already gotten the ball rolling off to a great start this semester. They're already doing a great job, and pretty soon we'll have new content via WKAR.org that will be a few stories that aren't your usual Michigan State football or Michigan State men's basketball, a bit out of the ordinary. We love to bring to you different and interesting features. So really briefly here, I want to invite right now Austin Short and Zach Manning to the show. And fellas, first off, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be here.
I want you guys to talk about what you'll be covering for us and what you guys hope to learn throughout the semester being with WKAR. Austin?
Well, my beat is Lansing boxing and MMA, that scene. So I covered the Lansing boxing match with you, Al, this past weekend.
Ron DeLeon, yeah.
Yeah, that was a pleasure to be there and just to be in that environment. It was really a great environment to be in. And then I'm currently just trying to contact some UFC fighters that have actually come from this area and have, you know, gone on to have, you know, bursting careers in that field.
Definitely. And why'd you choose that beat, Austin? I know you are a fight fanatic, right?
Yeah, I'm very into UFC. I watch as much as I can. I'm usually, you know, trying to get on the pay-per-views, get the pay-per-views in my house, get the wings, get the pizza, all that good stuff going.
Right.
So I definitely am a fanatic of MMA.
Looking forward to that first story, my friend. Well, quick question here before we get to Zach. Will the McGregor and Mayweather fight ever happen?
I say it's surefire almost at this point.
You think so?
Too much money to be made, and I would also say that they want it. It seems like they both really want it, so I think that's... I wouldn't say it would be McGregor's next fight if that was my guess.
Okay.
But I think that will happen fairly soon.
Yeah, listening to Floyd's latest comments, it does look like this thing could be a realistic possibility. Austin, really appreciate it. Looking forward to your work throughout the semester, all right?
Thanks.
Zach, what's up, dude?
How you doing, Al?
So what will you be covering this semester for us?
Yeah, I'm going to be... I'm on the Okemos High School beat, so right now I'm working on a story about their track athlete there, Sophia Franklin. So should be coming out in the next week or so.
Nice. What piqued your interest when it came to that beat?
I've worked with Okemos High School before in previous classes and stuff like that, and I kind of knew my way around their school and their athletic director, so I figured I could find some interesting stories there.
Nice. And Zach, what do you hope to learn with us throughout this semester here at WKAR, my friend?
Yeah, I'm just hoping to learn a lot from the best, you, Al Martin.
No, stop. I'm nobody. Isaac knows more than me. No.
Learning some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, sure you would. Well, I'm looking forward to that, man. Where are you guys from as well? Zach, where are you from?
I'm from Woodhaven, Michigan, downriver.
Nice. Did you play sports in high school?
Yep.
Where'd you play?
Football, basketball, and baseball.
Any big-time schools recruiting you?
I could lie about it.
Yeah, we don't want to go to Kevin Hart, right? Route, I should say. What about you, Austin?
I'm from Traverse City. I graduated from Kingsley, which is just south of Traverse City.
Okay.
And I had the honor to play against DeJuan Anderson, who was recruited here at Michigan State and was a Mr. Basketball Player of the Year.
So you played hoops then, back in high school?
Yes, yes. Basketball was my favorite sport. Dabbled with golf a little bit, mainly for the free rounds of practice.
You sound like me. I wish I would have played golf in high school, looking back at how I'm a big golf enthusiast now. So pretty cool stuff, man. Well, thank you, guys. Austin Short, Zach Manning, two voices you will be hearing each and every Thursday here up until about late April. So really appreciate that, guys. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We just got a hold of him, and we have just 4 minutes left in the show. Right now, real briefly here, I want to see if we can get him back on the show tomorrow sometime, anytime between 1 and 2. But real briefly here, we have Isaiah Hole on the show, sports writer, and actually Michigan alumnus. And he writes for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. Isaiah, we finally got you. I'm so sorry it's on delayed time right now. How you doing?
I am so sorry about that. I just was having some troubles there with my phone there. Really, really apologize. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Isaiah. It's all good. Let's hope maybe we could get you for a quick segment on tomorrow's show. We'll chat briefly after the show, but I just want to just, if you could, with the limited time we have here, Isaiah, you were at the Signing of the Stars event. Just put in perspective how crazy that was yesterday.
It was actually felt a little bit less frenetic than last year's event, because last year you had all these mega stars that weren't the early enrollees that were there in attendance. This year was a little bit more refined. Even though the crowd was a bit bigger, it was a little bit less of a spectacle. But it was still it still was pretty enthusiastic, especially because they had 11 early enrollees that came in and got introduced to the Michigan fan base. So it was a pretty stellar event to get Donovan Peoples-Jones and Cesar the Ruiz and Ambry Thomas and Tariq Black, Jalen Kelly Powell, some of these big names that came to Michigan and were able to meet the fan base. And on top of that, they were able to announce Aubrey Solomon as part of the class. And that turned into a pretty loud roar that I would say is on par of what you hear in Chrysler Center when the basketball team is playing really well. So it was a pretty fantastic event, and they really wanted to focus on having those kids be front and center. That's why they didn't have the Ric Flair and Lou Holtz and those types that they had last year. And this year, instead, they brought in Lamar Woodley, Ian Gold, Marlon Jackson, some of those types of guys that have been standouts in the past for Michigan.
And Isaiah, this is a class that I'm sure will be heavily relied on, seeing as though Michigan had 40-plus seniors last season that will no longer be a part of the program. Does that make any of these recruits a bit nervous, or do you think a lot of them will rise to the occasion next season?
They are coming in with the mentality that they are ready to compete and make each other better through competition. They're really buying into what Harbaugh's selling, and that's what we're seeing that's a bit different from when Harbaugh took over two years ago, when he had to take over a bunch of guys that weren't used to having those 3-4 hour practices. Now you've got guys like Benjamin St. Juice, this 6'4" cornerback out of Canada, who has come in, and he knows that it's an uphill battle. Even though he is rated 4-star for us at 24/7 Sports, he knows that it's an uphill battle because he's not only got to fight for playing time with Ambry Thomas, who's also a signee from this class. He's got to fight with David Long and LeVert Hill and Brandon Watson and some of these other highly touted cornerbacks that Michigan already has on the roster that have already gotten a year or more under their belt. So they're coming in with the idea that they have to earn their spot. And you're even hearing that from Donovan Peoples-Jones, the number one wide receiver in the country, that he knows he needs to come in and earn his position.
Isaiah Hull, sports writer for Wolverine 247 at 247sports.com. Isaiah, we only got a minute left. Are you free same time tomorrow? Well, earlier tomorrow from 1 to 2 p.m.?
Anytime you want to have me on tomorrow, I'll make sure I'm sitting in a place that has great signal and and that I'll be sitting in a quiet place that no one else can get to me.
There we go. Isaiah, we'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend. Thanks so much for taking the time out, though, later on here in the hour of 1 to 2.
Of course. Thank you, Al.
You got it. All right. Well, we are out of time. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.